السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز لسننگ اوور ریسیورز ان ادر مدرسہ، وی آر ڈسکسنگ ان لاسٹ ویکس مجلس فرام تنویر السالکین دا صفات، دا ایٹریبیوٹس آف دوز ہو ہیو گاٹ محبت آف اللہ تبارک و تعالی، اور دوز ہو ہیو گاٹ دا شریعت ان دیئر لائفز. سو واٹ آر دیئر signs and what are the alamat, how can you recognize them, that these are people who have got taqwa in their lives, they've got piety in their lives, and they are people of zuhud, of qanaat, they are people who have got shariat as the guiding light. So we discussed the first point, and that was that they all consider shaitan and nafs as their enemies. And from there, if I recall, we went on to a whole discussion that whether it is Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, whether it was Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, whether the tabi'in, the taba-tabi'in, all these people, if you have to look in their lives, then there is definitely this opposition to shaitan very, very glaring and very conspicuous. Because when a person is obeying shaitan, it doesn't mean that he is going to make sajda. A Muslim is not going to make sajda to some kind of shaitan. Although even in the Muslim community now, unfortunately, we are faced with a big, big problem, a major problem, at the schools, colleges, universities, and even in homes where the parents are reading namaz, the parents are fasting, parents are giving zakat, doing for hajj. But in those homes also, sometimes the children are very much engaged and involved and occupied in Satanism. There are so many cases. We deal with cases all the time, so we know. And those people who have the finger on the pulse of the society, then they know that how many young boys and even our young girls, how many of them are caught up, how many different tricks they are trying. Because they are told that if you have this kind of expertise, in inverted commas, then you can get power. So they are following shaitani deceptions just to get shaitani power. One Muslim actually wrote, Muslim I'm purposely mentioning. Now can that person be a Muslim in the true sense of the word? Or in whatever sense can that person be a Muslim? I'm only mentioning this so that we do not remain in ghaflat. We don't take it for granted that if we see a person in the masjid, then his ideology and his aqaid and everything is also 100% correct. So that we may not remain negligent, or we do not remain heedless, all these warnings are for a purpose. We take no enjoyment and pleasure in mentioning certain incidents from this mimbar or from this position. What enjoyment, what fun and what pleasure do we get out of it? In fact, it causes more heartache and more problems. It creates more grief and more sorrow and more pain in the heart when we have to even discuss these type of incidents. But if we put everything under the carpet and we only give fazail, or we give some masail, and we do not talk about the things that affect the heart, so then the person can be making namaz, but those things that affect the heart have not been discussed. So he is sometimes not even aware that these are issues which are of major concern. Sometimes wittingly and sometimes unknowingly the person gets caught up in these fitnas. And if one person tells you something, as I mentioned I think in some other majlis also, that sometimes it's one issue, one kind of ideology, one kind of belief, corrupt belief, polluted mind, something that's coming out of a corrupt mind. But when 4 or 5 students from the university write the same thing, or a few people in the society or many people say the same thing, then it is a clear indication that this ideology or this type of thinking is being propagated in the society. If it is not being propagated, then how so many different people are believing in the same thing? Like how we have our aqaid. We all say that we must believe in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We talk about iman-e-mujmal and iman-e-mufassal. So when we talk about amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allahi ta'ala wal ba'thi ba'd al maut. So we don't keep it to ourselves. Every person wants that his child must also learn the same aqaid if he is a good Muslim. Every father wants that his son must learn or daughter must learn. Every mother wants that his her children must learn. In the madaris we will give them some literature on it. From grade 1 we will start teaching them something about belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his angels, his books, etc. In fact, long before they even go to the maktab, many parents already teach those children. Amantu billah, imanu mujmal mufassal. In fact, something that I've discussed before also, that at that age when the child does not even understand the ABC of anything, at that time we are teaching that child in grade 1 or long before that, amantu billahi, kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami'a ahkamihi. I believe in Allah as He is with all His names and qualities. And I have accepted all of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's orders. Now which orders did that child accept at that time? The child got najasat in its napkin and does not know even how to maintain his own hygiene, and is fully dependent on the mother for its cleanliness and for his food and for his drink and for everything else, and doesn't have the knowledge of anything, and he's saying, I accept all Allah Ta'ala's orders. So which orders did the child accept? The child is going to make namaz now. At the age of 2 or 3, he's going to start making namaz, start giving zakat or fasting or hajj. Or does the child know all about bad nazri, bad gazing and other things? Nothing. But the child is saying, I accept all Allah Ta'ala's orders. I have accepted it. Meaning that when the time comes for me to make amal on that, I am ever ready. I am prepared for that. I have no hesitation in accepting Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's orders when it is going to become applicable to me. At this age of 2, 3, 4, 5 or more, until the age of maturity, I may not be obliged to make amal on any of those ahkam. There is no namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, farz on me. But even at this early stage in my life, I am saying, Amantu billah, kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi, wa qabiltu jami'a ahkami. So that I am ready to accept. So that the child is ready to accept. So every parent would like to teach the aqaid to the children. We will not hide as the Shias. When they are told that you believe in this, you believe in that, you revile the Sahabas, you do this, you do that, you believe in the tahrif of the Quran Sharif, interpolation and changes in the Quran Sharif, then they deny it, you make taqiyya. The same with the Qadianis, same with many of these other deviant groups. So why do they conceal it? They will print it in their books, in the kitabs, but one to one sometimes they will deny it. But we will have no hesitation in saying that these are our aqaid, these are our beliefs. We believe firmly in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, we believe firmly in His angels, His books, His messengers, we believe in the Quran Sharif as the last of Allah Ta'ala's books. The book and the kalam of Allah Ta'ala which underwent no changes, no alteration, no addition. We believe in life after death. We believe in day of judgment. We believe in taqdeer. So when these type of ideologies, that's what I was discussing. I was just wondering where we are going. That when these type of ideologies start circulating and many people say the same thing from that university, from that college or in the society, then it shows that it is being propagated, whether it is through the internet, whether it is through publications, whether it is through speeches on the radio stations, or whether it is through magazines, or whatever other way there is of communication, but it seems that this is spreading. So in the same way, this shaitaniyat is also spreading. This is what I'm saying, that one of the first signs, they say, of all those who are Allah walas is their opposition to nafs and shaitan. So when a Muslim has to tell you that I am engaging in this type of activities so that I may get power, that means that they are engaging in Satanism to get some kind of power. And then this Muslim, he calls himself Muslim in inverted commas. Because as I said, that this person, how can he ever be a Muslim? And believe me that this is something that is not just restricted to this one or two people. There is a whole group of people in Syria who are following this kind of an ideology. In Syria, I met two of them in Makkah Sharif who had made Tawbah. And they informed me of how the whole group there believes in this. They say that na'uzu billah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must protect us. And as I said, that we only mention this so that we don't remain in ghaflat and take it for granted that every child or every person that we see in the masjid, then his aqaid are also correct. There are many people who are in religious garb, but if you have to check the aqaid, then there is no connection between them and Islam. So they say that shaitan was, na'uzu billah, very, very powerful. Shaitan was very powerful. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered him to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. So he challenged Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's might. And he refused to make sajda. So na'uzu billah, Allah ta'ala could have then destroyed him. But Allah Ta'ala did not destroy him. Shows that he had more power than Allah Ta'ala. So therefore we are engaged in this Satanism to get that power. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm just giving you just one of the issues. That why their Muslim child is engaging in Satanism. They want to get power so that we may be able to dominate, we may be able to rule, we may be able to govern, we may be able to suppress now all these type of power they believe will come if they have to get shaitan in their lives. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Allah Ta'ala protect us and protect the ummah and the children of the ummah from such kind of beliefs and such kind of practices. But parents are unconcerned. They do not even ask the child, where did you spend your day? With whom you spent your day? What did you learn and come today? Why are your eyes so red today? Were you in muraqabah, thinking of akhirat, jannat, jahannam? You couldn't sleep whole night, that's why your eyes turned red. Or was it something else? Because the eyes also indicate a lot of things. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh, his Shaykh Shams Tabriz rahmatullah alayh, when he met him. So the pious, the righteous, the Allah walas, those who are of a very high stage, looking at the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they have such azmat of Allah ta'ala in their hearts that they don't consider themselves to be of any significance. They will never attribute to themselves their achievements. Even if they have to mention something, it will be tahdees and ni'mat. That my Allah with His fazal and with His ihsan and with His kindness, He blessed me with this or that. But they don't consider themselves to be very significant. They humble themselves. So Shams Tabriz rahmatullah alayhi also said, I am nothing. Look for somebody else. What you found in me, look for some other sheikh. He was trying to put him off. So Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says that if it has rained at night and somebody goes to the park in the morning, I'm just giving you his explanation. Somebody has to go to the park in the morning and whole night it was raining. So if the leaves of those trees have to tell you that no rain fell on me, can you believe it? The person will not believe it because the sign is there that it had rained. All the leaves of the tree are wet. You can see the dampness also on the ground. So the sign of that rain having fallen on the leaves cannot be hidden. In the same way, he says, if a person has drunk alcohol, he has taken wine, brandy, liquor, and he has become drunk. And then he says, no, I'm not drunk. So he can hide the bad odor of his mouth by eating elachi or something. You know, school days, when we were young, Allah Ta'ala make maaf. So if we had to smoke, then we used to eat one chewing gum called chicks. I don't know if it exists still today. But the person standing next to you after that won't get the bad smell of that cigarette. So like that, he says that you can hide the bad smell of your mouth with something. But this wobble in your walk, how are you going to hide it? The person who has drunk and is gone really drunk, he says, how are you going to hide the wobble in your walk? This person who has drunk from the ocean of Allah Ta'ala's ma'rifat, the person who has drunk from the ocean of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat and love, and the person who has in his heart the ishq and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no matter what he says, that I am nothing, I am insignificant. But to the people of sight, they will say that, where are you going to hide that ishq and love? We can see that ishq and love in your walk, in your talk, in your actions, in your deeds. Guftar mein, kirdar mein, aamal mein, har cheez ke andar, in whatever it is, the person's walk, talk, his dealings, his relationship with his family, with his neighbors, with his friends. In his akhlaq, you will see that this person has got the ishq and the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or he has got the khawf and the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his heart. Where can that person hide that? That person will not be able to hide that. So we were discussing that these people who have been caught up in this type of satanic rituals, so some of them truly believe that by means of these rituals, we will get some kind of power. We will be able to control minds. And it does happen because shaitan at that time plays tricks. When we hear of suddenly milk flowing from the mouth of the idol, or honey flowing on the picture of Jesus Christ, and things like this, now people start flocking there. Now who is it that is playing the tricks? Shaitan can make you see a lot of things that are not existing. There's no reality, but he can make you see things like that. It's a whole art. Isn't mesmerism an art? Haven't we heard of mesmerism, hypnotism? Anybody can master the art of hypnotism and mesmerism. You and I can master it too. A person can play tricks with the mind of a person. He can make him believe that he is Allah. He can make him believe that he is anything. He can make him do things that the person will not even think of doing. If he is hypnotized, he can do things which afterwards when he is informed of that you were doing these type of things, he will say, you are speaking absolute rubbish. I can never do a thing like that. And yet when he was in the trance state, he was doing it. And they can put you off to sleep within minutes. In our school days, they made us stand, put our hands like that behind our necks, and then the person was going on and on. It's a very hot day, extremely hot, and you are exhausted, and you are perspiring, and you are feeling very, very drowsy, and very, very sleepy, very, very sleepy. Half of them slept away. So many of them slept away. And then he brings them on the stage and does things that we can't even imagine. So this is hypnotism. These are all tricks. And our community gets carried away. So many people sell their iman. They barter their deen. Say, no, we saw with our eyes. We saw with our eyes. And obviously, you're not going to see with your ears. You must see with your eyes. But you didn't see with your heart. Because there are two eyes outside on the face. And Allah Ta'ala gives basirat also, which is in the heart. Basirat is in the heart. The Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, a person came to him, dressed up as an Arab, with his amama, with tasbih in the hand and everything. And he said, I came to ask you about the firasat of the mu'min. What is this basirat and firasat? So Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi just looked at him once and he said, what it means is this, ittaqu firasat al-mu'min, he said, it means this, that you are a Jew. That's what it means. Because the Hadith Sharif said there must be fear, the firasat of the mu'min. فَإِنَّهُ يَنْزُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ, he sees with the noor of Allah Ta'ala. So he was coming to test him, that what does this mean, that has he got this basirat or he hasn't got. So he looked at him and he said, you are a Jew. Although you dressed up like this, but you are a Jew. So the others got very upset and angry, that how can you call him a Jew? But the Jew himself, he read the kalima and he said, indeed you've got firasat. That he came disguised as a Muslim and he recognized him. So we have our basarat, we can see with our eyes lots of things. But because our iman is not that strong and powerful, and we don't have that noor of taqwa in our hearts, then we get carried away when we see these type of things. So many people have given up their iman. A person once was brought to me and said that he gave up his Islam and iman, and he's not prepared to follow the Islamic faith and practice anymore. So I must explain to him. Somehow they brought him. So I was trying to ask. So first I asked him that, what is the problem? What made you give up your Islam? So you know, my mother was very sick. And the Maulana came and he prayed, nothing happened. Some other Hafiz Saab came and prayed, nothing happened. Some Jamaat brothers came and prayed, nothing happened. One Christian priest came and prayed and she got better. So which deen is right? Christianity or Islam? Now look at the Dalil of his. That's his proof. That because she got better with the prayer of the Christian priest, so therefore Christianity is right. Allah, inna lillah. What are we heading for? So we are living in very, very dangerous times. Aqaid are something, our beliefs are something that we give no attention towards. First shaitan just gives a little whisper, and then a little more. And then fuel is added to that fire with all these things that we watch on the television screens. Believe me or don't believe me, and keep saying orthodox, orthodox. There's something that is playing on the subconscious mind of the people. Good, good children, good, good family, from good, good families, and in fact those people themselves. Why is it that suddenly they have so much of doubts about Islam and Quran and Sharia? Why do they say that Islam is not practical? You cannot make amal on Islam in these modern days. Why do they say all these type of things which I have been just discussing? Why? Those days we heard some talk about music only having that effect on the subconscious mind. That listening to that music, then there is a message. Hidden message, which through backtracking was discovered. Kill your mother, shoot your father, take drugs, burn the house, hang yourself. This type of message. Although the outside the music is sounding very nice and very sweet, but it is sweet poison. The music was sounding very sweet, but what it was doing was pumping sweet poison, which afterwards showed its effects. And we are seeing it now where little children are doing things which will make the grandparents and parents, if they've gone to the grave, will make them turn in their graves. Because the parents are informed. Grandparents are informed. When somebody dies and goes, they ask them what about the family. So when they are informed that this is their condition, then those parents whose Quran Sharif used to be in their lives, they used to get up first in Quran Sharif. Namaz 5 times a day. Talk about cinemas, there was no question. Any of our grandparents with their dadis and kurtas, those who came those days, did you see anybody in a cinema? Did we see anybody in a disco? Those days too, they had some kind of dance clubs and dance halls. Did we see anybody in all this type of programs? Did anybody have the courage to go and tell his grandparents that give us some money, we want to go to the cinema? Now, that time was just cinema. But that cinema also, even if you said it's an innocent film, you would have got a good idea. What kind of innocent film you're going to watch in the cinema? And now those grandparents themselves, some of them have got tasbih in their hand and they're watching the television, staring and ogling at those women that are coming there. They went to visit one family. They opened the door, they didn't know who it was. Just opened the door. Now the television was right there and that old man is sitting there with his tasbih in the hand and he's staring at them. La hawla wa la quwwata. And for all I know, he may be reading on the tasbih also. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla. Some peer sahab must have told him, must read la hawla so many thousand times. So what better way to finish it than put a 3-hour program on and read it. One person used to sit on the musalla after Fajr. He was a superintendent of police in India. And this is a true incident. This is not one of those latifas. Because somebody asked us, what are all the latifas? We have to light up our lataif. So I said, I only know a few latifas. I don't know what all those other lataif. If you don't know the basic of tasawuf, I'm going all through latifas. So in any case, this person used to sit on the musalla. And he used to read tasbih. Superintendent of police, but he was a namazi. And some Pir Sahib had given him some tasbih to read. So he used to read it after Fajr. So now those cases that he was going to see during the day, bribe cases, now they also used to come at that time, whilst he's there finishing his wazifa. So he wouldn't talk, because it will break the barakat of the wazifa. So now he'll tell somebody, four. With his fingers he'll show four, means 400 rupees, your job is done. Somebody will pick up like that and say five. That means you must bring 500 rupees, bribe, and your job will be done. So his wazifa would have been affected if he spoke. But this taking bribe whilst reading the wazifa was not affected, affecting his iman. So like that, these people also on the television while sitting and watching and reading tasbih. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah Ta'ala must make our hifazat. Allah Ta'ala must make our hifazat. We are living in a very, very vicious world. Vicious. From all sides, the snakes and the scorpions and the devils are biting. So that message, subconscious mind, that message before we heard that it was on the music, that outwardly that music is playing, very sweet music, and we are enjoying that music. But in reality, there was a backtracking, and they were giving a message to our subconscious mind, and which has become so common now, that little children are shooting and killing and murdering and hanging themselves and doing all kinds of things. And we can't understand why are these things happening. So either we have just accepted the situation and we are quite happy and comfortable also that nothing happens. We can go on watching and go on listening. Nothing happens. So then we must just await. We must await, the time will come. There is no question of doubt, the time will come. Then we will have to hold our heads and cry. We will have to shed tears of blood, but it will be useless. Already the time has come for so many people. Believe me, so many people. Parents do not know what to do anymore, but they are not prepared to get rid of the shaitan from their lives. Shaitan must remain with them. Devil must remain by their side. Evil must remain with them. But they want barakat, rahmat, obedience of children. How can the East and West meet? We're going in the direction of the West, but we want to go East. So these are eye-openers. So we get back to what we had started off with, and that was that those people who were engaging in this shaitani tricks, or those people who were getting caught up in this Satanism, and many of them believe that through that Satanism power, then we can also become powerful. We can rule the minds of people. So that's what brought me on to hypnotism and mesmerism, that it is so easy to do such kind of tricks. And shaitan also assists such people. Shaitan comes to the assistance of such people. Now that person gives up Islam because the prayer of the Christian priest helped and the prayers of others didn't help. So was that not a very severe test for this person from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that his iman also went away? If he had little bit iman and little bit Islam and little bit education and knowledge, then he would have said that as far as du'as are concerned, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accepts everybody's du'as. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not obliged that he only accepts the dua for Muslim. Yes, there is barakat in the duas of the pious and the righteous, and many a times through the barakat of the duas of the righteous and pious, Allah Ta'ala cures the person. Sometimes that very pious and righteous person, he himself is very sick, but through his dua barakat, Allah Ta'ala cures the others. But he himself has to hold his head and save terrible pain. So then the question arises that if his dua cured so many other people's headaches, then why not his? There is wisdom and hikmat of Allah Ta'ala. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, through whose duas so many miracles happened, so much of miracles. That finger of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which could have split the moon into two. Those fingers of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from which water flowed when there was no water left in that one battle. And more than 1200 people drank that water, made wuzu and filled the can and the bags. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's sight, if we have to go in that direction, we'll be doing a different subject. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that sahabi, that's the Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, and his eye falls off the socket in the battle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes it on the palm of his hand, puts it there and rubs it. The sight in that eye was better than even the other eye until his dying day. Yet Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, for 3 solid years, as I mentioned in my Jumu'ah Bayan also, for 3 solid years, he's ostracized and boycotted in Shaab ibn Abi Talib. No food, no drink is allowed. People used to just somehow smuggle it in. Otherwise, total boycott and ostracism. Not for one day, not just for 1 week or 1 month or 1 year. 3 solid years, can we imagine? We just read those incidents. It doesn't even stir our heart. We don't even think or ponder or reflect or take a few minutes to absorb that incident and think that who was being boycotted and ostracized, who was being criticized, who was being ridiculed, who was being tortured, who was being persecuted. The one with whose duas so many things were happening. How many times Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must have raised his hands and made dua. But after 3 years, after having had to drink, or after having had to chew leather and to eat leaves of trees for survival, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dua, was it not effective? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ties a cloth tightly around his head and say, Wa rasa. In other words, what a pain in my head. That Nabi of Allah with whose dam and with whose blowing, we don't know how many people's headaches were cured. Why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does that is so that we may remain balanced in our aqidah. Our aqidah must remain balanced. Because if everything had to happen and he himself, no difficulty came, no hardship came, no sickness came, no pain came, no problem came, and for whomsoever he made dua, they all got better too, then people will start worshipping. You see, he is Allah. As it is happening that many peer sahabs and many shaykhs and many others, one is the muhabbat and one is the love and the aqidat and the other is actual worshipping. Where whatever the person says, whether it is halal or haram, the person is prepared to accept. And you will find them kissing the boots and the shoes of the and making sajda. And having such kind of beliefs that it leads to shirk. So all those things happen when some kind of karamat or some kind of magical trick or some kind of mesmerism or hypnotism is done. And if it is Allah wala's, then some kind of karamat. So even if there is some karamat, then you respect, you have aqidat, you have muhabbat. But when it comes to worship, the worship is of none other than Allah. Worship is of no one else except Allah. La ilaha illallah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala uses his servants for the khidmat of people. So therefore we are obliged to respect, to have azmat, to have muhabbat, to have aqidah. But to raise to that position that whatever comes, whether it is halal, haram, if the person is doing things which are not even any way linked with Sharia and his deen, in fact is totally haram, but just because it's a peer sahab, so we accept him. There's one peer sahab, the ladies press his legs and massage his head. He says, and any lady with burqa and niqab, then he says, must open. If I'm not going to see your face here, then how will I recognize you on Qiyamah Day? Say, how will I recognize you on Qiyamah if I don't see your face here? And how many of them have then run away with the wives of others and daughters of others? How many incidents? So many of them, no namaz, no roza, no zakat, no nothing. In one place, a lot of people gather in India. So one of them was on a high in the graveyard there. He was on a high. And he's there, like the peer sahab. So one bichara was going past, he said, Yao, O Murghe, Yao. Instead of calling him nicely also, because he saw him nicely dressed, he was going past. O Murghe, he said, oh, you, come here. He said, you see, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we were very close to him. When Allah Ta'ala was dishing out orders, then we were close. And you all were very far away. So you all heard namaz, roza, because you all were far away. Whereas actually it was bang booza. Then, in reality it was that you can take drugs and you can take smoke, whatever you wish to. Now this is the kind of peer sahibs. This is what I mean. That is worshipping those kind of peer sahibs. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must protect us. Oont re oont teri konsi kal seedhi, O camel, which part of your body is straight? Ummat of Muslim, Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Ummat of Muslima. We all are part of it, not that we must exclude ourselves. Some people are caught up in one fitna, we caught up in other fitnas. Some people are caught up in some kind of fitnas, and we are also caught up in different kinds of fitnas. So we must not think that we are left out by shaitan, that shaitan has left us out, is not concerned. We all are living in the same world, in the same society. So how alert we have to be, how careful we have to be, especially this youth of ours, the children who are going to the schools, and I'm not talking about universities and colleges, I'm talking about grade 2, 3, 5 and 7 now. Taking blades and scratching themselves and taking that blood out onto that blade. Little children of 9 and 10, the boy takes it out from his shoulder with a blade, a little bit of blood. And then some girl of the class, she takes out a little bit of blood and then they mix the two blood. And then they say, we are now brothers and sisters in this shaitaniyat, in this satanism. Allah Ta'ala must make our hifazat. These are things that we normally put under the carpet and we think that now what's going to happen. But it's happening. It's happening. So therefore we have to be very careful. If we see such kind of marks, then we must question the child, how did this mark come? Who could have scratched right here with that, like a blade mark? But neither is the mother concerned nor is the father concerned. Child says, no, I just fell down somewhere and hurt myself. So what kind of injury was that? Person fell down and there was a nice clean cut like a blade cut. That kind of injury. Don't we have aqal? May Allah Ta'ala protect my children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, and protect the children of the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We also have children, we have grandchildren, we have nephews and nieces. All of us have got some kind of relatives, family members, young boys and girls. And if not, then the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is one brotherhood. We must feel the same pain for the others as we would feel for our own child. We must feel the same pain. Otherwise there's a deficiency in our iman. We may not be able to do much if it is somebody else's child, because these days sometimes you are told, mind your own business. But at least we must feel the pain. Now we are going to discuss something further. But I truly believe that whatever has been discussed must be good for somebody in the audience or for myself. So that was the first distinguishing feature. That you could recognize an Allah wala. You could recognize a person who has got taqwa in his life. He's got piety. He's got God fear. You recognize the person by means of his enmity and hatred and opposition to nafs and shaitan. By nafs we mean those evil desires and passions that come into the nafs. Because that same nafs you can work on it and bring it to the level of nafs lawwama. That nafs ammara you can bring it to nafs lawwama. That now at least the person when he's doing something wrong, his conscience worries him, and we will say that that is nafs lawwama. Sometimes he overpowers shaitan and sometimes shaitan overpowers him, but his conscience now doesn't allow him to rest, doesn't give him any kind of peace. So that is nafs lawwama. And after that he can raise it to the nafs mutma'inna. But we are talking here about the nafs, that means the evil desires and evil passions that are coming in the nafs. The opposition to that you will see in the life of those who've got taqwa in their lives. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Sattar al-Uyum, Ghaffar al-Zunum Allah. Hamare Saghira, Kabira, Khatan, Hamadan, Zahiri, Batini, Har Gunah ko maaf farma. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Make us all yours and become ours. My beloved Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Give us shifa from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Don't test us and try us, may Allah. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties with plentiful of halal risk. Those who have gone for hajj, make their hajj maqbool and mabroor. Make it easy. Remove the difficulties from their path and obstacles. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. And those who have children, make them obedient to you and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Don't let the angel of death find us in a discourse, cinema, theater, gambling den or any kind of haram. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the corruption, mischief and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ